Hi, I'm Eileen.
And I'm Dave. Welcome to Don't Screw It Up, a guide to pregnancy and parenthood by people figuring it out as they go.
So for each episode, we're going to grapple with the fact that someone is going to be depending on us to keep them alive and explore exactly what that means.
This episode is called Holy Shit, We're Having a Kid.
Do you think it's possible to over pee on a stick? Okay. And then you let this do its thing.
Fast. I feel like it was a lot slower last.
Holy shit!
Oh my god!
Holy shit!
Oh my god! I told you I had heartburn for a reason! Oh my god!
Wow.
It was really fast. Remember the last time? It was like excruciating.
So you must be like super pregnant.
I don't know. Maybe.
So as you've probably figured out, we are having a baby.
Ooh.
Which is all very, very exciting. And this was something that we had planned. What we hadn't planned is the feeling afterward.
Yeah, it's kind of a shock to the system. I was a little in shock when we first found out.
Yeah, we're brand new to this, if you haven't figured that one out. And we don't really know what we're doing. So, obviously, after we found the results, we're searching all over the internet looking for any resource that we could find that could give us more information. Like, what's going to happen to my body? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to eat? What am I not supposed to eat? Like, how do I do this whole pregnancy, parenting? Oh my God, what is happening right now? So after kind of scouring the internet, looking at like mommy blogs and like parent websites and WebMD and all these like restrictions of like what you can and can't do, I just kind of felt like there were an abundance of resources that were very, very restrictive, but at the same time, like, trying to make it feel like all touchy-feely and like, you are, like, you know, like, going to be a brand new mother and you're reproducing this, like, this, like, gift to God.
You're Gaia, the mother of Earth.
Exactly. And I was just like, didn't want to deal with all of this lame crap, you know? Like, I wanted to find some sort of resource or podcast out there that, like, was just funny and just told it like it was and was really pragmatic. And that's why this podcast came to be.
You're about to have a new human, like, shoot out of your vagina. How can you take yourself that seriously?
I don't know, but I have a parasite growing inside of me and I have to keep feeding it to keep it alive. But I'm really, really excited about it. Dave and I are excited. You know, we've been wanting to have a kid. We've been thinking about it and it finally happened. So
yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm super excited. I think being a dad's going to be a lot of fun.
So this is our adventure going through this. Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
So you heard a little bit of the audio of, you know, when we actually found out, you know, peeing on a stick, all that fun stuff. Let's talk a little bit about that experience, like the moment when we saw the pregnant words on the little, pregnancy test, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was going through your head?
So we did a pregnancy test the last month. It was a little bit of a shock when it ended up not being pregnant because, you know, we thought, I don't know why, I felt all these changes in my body and I had, like, already convinced myself that I was probably pregnant. It turns out I was just kind of gassy and I had probably eaten too much so my belly was a little bit full. But this month, I was kind of thinking the same thing. Like, I felt like these changes to my body felt like a little bit sleepy, felt a little bit fuller, and just generally like something else that I can't really explain.
Yeah, but we were like on vacation last month. It really wasn't on our minds.
Yeah, exactly. And so when it came down to it, I took the test with reservations, and like the math didn't really pan out. Like, I should have gotten my period.
You were terrible at tracking your period. Like, I don't know, should have gotten it like a month ago, maybe 2 months.
It wasn't that long. It was a difference between like 28, 31, and like maybe 35 days or something. So we waited, I think, to like day 37. And I was like, I probably should have gotten my period by now.
I mean, we were doing the little pee on the stick ovulation test things, which were, you know, that kind of took all the excitement out of it.
Yeah, it was kind of demoralizing. Yeah,
you've peed on a lot of stuff lately.
Yeah, it's really strange to take all of the romance out of, you know,
baby making,
because we had gone into it thinking like, yeah, great, it's an excuse to just have sex like all of the time until the baby shows up. But then it didn't show up, and we're really impatient people, so we got these little ovulation strips, and it turns out like they actually do work. Go figure. Science.
Like, that was, like, the biggest surprise for me, is that people actually get pregnant from having sex. Until now, it seemed like something maybe parents were making up to scare teenagers from having sex. Like, don't do that. You'll have a baby. You don't want a baby. It was kind of crazy that it actually worked.
Right, right. So, full disclosure, I'm 31 years old, and I've spent all of my adult life on birth control, really, really actively trying to not get pregnant. So the second that I got my IUD out and we were going through these ovulation strips and everything, it was like, I'm bound to get pregnant. I'm sure the second that I'm off birth control, I'm going to have like a baby inside of me. It doesn't quite work like that.
Teen mom lied to you.
You're not quite as fertile, but don't fear. At 31, you're still fertile. So
nobody is as fertile as like childless or jobless 16-year-olds. I know.
And we also freaked ourselves out a little bit by watching some 16 and Pregnant before we ever got pregnant. I'm not sure why we did that. Actually, I feel like that was the opposite message.
Yeah, I'm really glad neither of us is 16.
Oh gosh, no.
Like, if you were 16, I would go to jail. That would be a bad way to start, like, this kid's life.
Oh yeah, no, we would ruin our own lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a good decision. Yeah. Okay, so anyways, where were we at?
So we were talking about finding out, like, what we felt when we found out. Like, what was, so after the initial shock, what was kind of going through your head? We kind of just sat on the couch and, I don't know, I guess I was just sort of processing and trying to, we had been planning for a while, like thinking about this for a little while, but the actual experience of, holy shit, now it's happening, I was a little floored and a little speechless and not quite sure what to do next. I guess I hadn't figured out the in-between of finding out we're going to have a kid and now we are actively having a kid.
Yeah, right. It had sort of been this dream for a little while, and then suddenly it became reality.
Yeah, it wasn't a hypothetical thing. It's now something we're actively engaged in.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's weird. It didn't seem real because, like,
I don't look
any
different.
Yeah, you don't look any different. Like, nothing actually changed. It's just, we entered kind of this new stage without a lot of physical, not, like, signs that, yeah, things are changing.
It's more of the realization that everything in your life is changing. So, you know, the fact that I have a career right now, I fully anticipate like staying a working professional while I have a child. But I'm sure that my priorities are going to completely shift and I'm not going to work late hours and, you know, just kind of grappling with the fact that like happy hours aren't going to become like a normal thing in my life anymore. And maybe I'm not just going to take those weekend trips to Napa as often as I would have otherwise, but it's all good.
Maybe this is a bad attitude to take as somebody who's actively recording a podcast about, you know, about being about to have a kid, but I'm kind of taking the attitude of I'm not really going to be able to fully predict how I'm going to feel about having a kid until I'm actively having it. That's like the biggest thing I've heard from other people is you just don't understand the experience of wanting to prioritize the kid or move stuff around that seems important now until you actually have that kid.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm more just preparing myself for having priorities that would surprise me right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how I'm sort of prepping, is just being prepared to surprise myself.
Yep. And I think my initial reaction when I saw the pregnant on the stick was I was not as elated as I thought I would be. Like, I thought I was going to be screaming from the hilltops because we were so stoked about this. And the last month that it showed up not pregnant, I was really disappointed.
Yeah, I was, like, surprisingly bummed out.
Yeah, but then this time I thought that I was going to be, like, screaming and, like, jumping around and, like, you know, like, dancing and shit. But I was very subdued because I was like, wait, hold on. Everything has changed now.
Yeah, I think shock of it being real was like the biggest thing.
Yeah. And taking that all in. And now we've been able to process for about a week and a half. And the more that I think about it, the more excited I am. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So I think right now, what are you, about 6.5 weeks along?
Yep.
Okay.
That's right.
So a big part of right now is that we haven't told anybody yet, which is kind of weird. We're recording a podcast that is going to be very public about something that we haven't told anybody about.
Except one person. I've now told my therapist, and that is the only person I have mentioned.
So you've gotten
to
tell someone. I haven't been able to tell anybody.
So we've been keeping the secret between the three of us.
And I don't even get to talk to her.
Yeah. So, I mean, the next step is figuring out how to go about doing that. And so in the meantime, like, we found out on a Friday of last week. And that Saturday, we were meeting up with some friends up in Napa to go wine tasting. And of course, you're like, maybe when you're pregnant, you probably shouldn't drink. But at the same time, I was like, maybe that's one of those rules that is like a little bit too strict. So I ended up kind of doing some research, reading this book named Expecting Better by Emily Oster, that actually has an entire chapter where she pretty much is doing like a meta-analysis of different studies that health clinics or health centers have done to evaluate like how harmful alcohol is for babies. And so I read that section, and I read a few other things and kind of came to the determination that like limitations in alcohol like really doesn't have that much of an impact on the baby, but I wasn't going to go like binge drink and be like a frat boy or anything like that.
So I think you're saying that the idea is very, very moderate drinking, like having a glass of wine isn't actually going to hurt baby. But the reason people say don't drink alcohol at all is because people aren't good at figuring out what moderation is for them.
Yeah.
And it can vary person to person. So it's easier to just say don't do it at all.
Yeah. And like people don't want to hold that guilt over their head of like, fuck, I screwed up my baby. Right. And so, you know, obviously, like, those are risks that you have to figure out for yourself and then decide what actions to take. But regardless, okay, let's go back to Napa.
Yeah, so we're in Napa.
So we're in Napa.
We haven't told anybody.
We haven't told anyone, and there's wine just showing up at our table continuously. And Dave and I talked about this on the drive up before meeting up with our friends, and I was like, you know, I just can't drink that much. And so what can you do to help me out with this? And so we had devised this plan where
like future dad of the year, I basically, I drink my wine and then I swap glasses with Eileen and drink her wine. It looks like she's been finishing her wine, but really I'm just drinking double wine.
Yeah, it was super sneaky. And then Dave got super drunk. So that was fun. But I just took sips of my wine, which I knew wasn't going to be that harmful. And so no one seemed to question, or at least I hope they didn't.
And I ate a whole bunch of soft cheeses, so you didn't have to.
Yeah, exactly.
You're welcome.
And I did avoid some of the prosciutto that showed up, but it looked so good.
Oh, yeah, I ate that too.
I did have the salami, though. That was tasty.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the sneakiness around me drinking your wine, that was a good move. I don't think anybody suspected anything.
Yep. Nope. Not at that point. So that same weekend, it was July 4th weekend, we ended up also having a barbecue in our backyard. So we invited a whole bunch of friends over. Of course, we had a cooler just full of delicious beer that I so wanted because it was July 4th. And what is more patriotic than drinking a brewski?
Yeah, I had some PBR tall boys. America.
So I just drank lemonade and then took sips of Dave's wine.
No, I got some session beer, some low alcohol stuff, so that when you had a few sips of that, not a big deal, keeping up appearances.
Yep.
The lie is important.
Yep. So that's all we've been doing is lying to our friends. So
I really like tricking people.
When you guys hear this later, sorry, we did it with the best of intentions.
But it is kind of weird to be waiting to like have this big life news and not
tell anybody.
Yeah, we both talked to our parents several times since we found out, and it's weird to not tell them. It's weird to not tell friends. Like, I've got a buddy who just had a kid, and I really want to talk to him about this because he just went through this.
Yeah. So why? Why are we keeping this a secret?
Fear of miscarriage?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it happens. It's, I guess, something people don't like to talk about. But
it should be something that people talk about.
But, I mean, I guess people do realize, like, that's why a lot of people don't tell until the end of the first trimester, stuff like that.
Well, we definitely won't wait that long as we figure out that
we're very impatient.
That the baby is healthy. We're impatient. We can't hold secrets very well. Plus, we are going to see Dave's parents in another 2 weeks or so. And so we wanted to tell them live and in person. So I think that this will be a good excuse. I think it'll be a lot better than telling them over Skype or FaceTime or anything like that. So,
yeah, I'm really excited for that. I think that'll be super fun telling everybody. So I think something we want to try to do every episode is talk about how big our future baby currently is. And so this week,
which we realize is a standard thing on like every mommy/pregnancy. Yeah,
there's like a
website.
Mapping of food to zygote.
Yeah.
For every moment of your baby's development.
Like today your baby's the size of a raspberry, and in a few weeks it's going to be the size of a cantaloupe, and then eventually it'll be the size of a watermelon because you'll start falling over.
So I think every episode I'm going to try to eat something that is the current size of our baby.
I feel like I'm probably the hungrier one these days.
I know, but you'll get to eat, like,
all the stuff all the time?
Yeah, every other time, for this, like, brief moment, it's going to be me. Except for this week. Mm. We're going to start this whole thing off with something different, because right now, our baby is the size of a cat treat. And so, our cat is going to eat the representation of our future child. Oh, and he's super excited.
Oh, and for those at home who can't see what's happening right now, the cat heard the bag, scrambled over, and then jumped up on Dave's lap. And he is so excited for this little cat treat right now.
Chairman Meow, welcome to your podcast debut. Here you go, Chairman. Okay. The cat just scarfed down a representation of his future human sibling.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you who don't know what a cat treat size is, it's about the size of like a pea.
Yeah, about the size of a baby at 6.5 weeks.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, a pea.
Okay. Okay, next thing we want to do, let's talk about what we're excited about this week and what we're worried about. What are you excited about?
Aside from the fact that I'm super stoked about like being a mom and everything that entails, and we'll have many, many more weeks to actually talk about that. I'm really, really excited right now of having the excuse to wear all the comfortable clothes in the world. I get to wear my Toms all the time. I get to wear like these super soft tights that I have. Feel them.
Those are soft.
They're super soft.
Those are nice.
And then like all my shirts and dresses and everything get to be stretchy because they need to be, because I'm getting fatter.
Oh, that'll be fun.
So I'm really excited about all of that.
Okay. So what are you worried about?
I am worried about the famous pregnancy brain. I was looking it up a little bit. I've heard people talk about this whole pregnancy brain thing, which really just means, like, I think you forget things very easily. You feel kind of scatterbrained and everything when you're pregnant. And looking at various studies about it, there isn't any conclusive evidence that actually says that pregnancy brain exists scientifically. Like, there aren't actual changes to the structure of your brain and the cognitive ability. But because of the changes that are happening to your body, like my raised progesterone levels, which I found out is like anywhere between like 20 and 40 times like the amount is normal.
What is progesterone?
It's like one of the hormones naturally in women's bodies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it surges when you're pregnant.
Way to be WebMD informed.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. I read about this right before this podcast.
Okay, so is your brain deteriorating right now?
No, so it's not deteriorating. It's just that the progesterone is like this really potent sedative, so it constantly makes me tired. So I want to take a nap like 5 times a day. And so I think...
And you have.
Yeah, so a combination of like the sleepiness and probably a little bit of like the stress and distraction of being pregnant is making me a little scatterbrained, and I'm kind of just worried that that's going to impact my work and my ability to have conversations and things like that. I just don't want to be scatterbrained.
Okay, that's a valid concern.
Yeah. What are you excited about?
So I think I mentioned this a little earlier. I'm really excited to tell everybody, especially telling our parents, telling friends, telling family. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. You know, I'm an only child. I guess your brother had a kid already, so
He's about to have another one.
Yeah, he's going to have another one
in a few months.
So I guess we're a little bit like old news on your side of the family.
Oh yeah.
But I'm the oldest cousin of all my cousins. None of my other cousins have kids. This is like groundbreaking people making on the Schwannes side of things.
Yeah, firstborn Schwannes.
A lot of pressure.
On this generation, yeah.
So I'm really excited. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. I think my mom especially is going to lose her mind.
Oh, yeah. She's been stealing children for quite a while from other people's grandkids.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not healthy. This will probably keep her out of trouble. So, yeah, I'm really excited to tell everybody. What am I worried about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think up until you have your first doctor's appointment, I'm worried about the kind of risks of early pregnancy. I've heard horror stories. I think the fact that I'm really into this now, I'm excited. I'm, you know, mentally engaged in the process of we're having a kid. I think it's really scary to not have some more assurance that this one's going to stick. I think that would be a big disappointment. I think that would be a tough thing to cope with,
to
even this
with.
Early on. Like, you know, obviously we're very early on. It's not, you know, 6.5 weeks in isn't a ton of time to be pregnant. But I think mentally I'm really into this whole pregnancy thing. And I'm, until we get some more confirmation that it's viable and, you know, we hear a heartbeat, that sort of thing. You know, there's that little part of my brain that's kind of nervous about that.
Yeah.
So that, you know, I'm trying not to dwell too much on it. There's nothing we can do, but that's still a little bit of a worry.
Yep. And it's not uncommon at this stage. I think I was reading that it was the percentage at this age is about 11% that I could miscarry.
Yeah. And I think that's why something like hearing a heartbeat, I've heard once you hear a heartbeat, it goes down to like 2% or some low single digit percentage of chance.
But on the flip side of things, I mean, 89 to 90%, like, that it's going to stick.
That's good numbers.
That's pretty good.
I'd put money on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. Let's be optimistic.
Okay, let's bet on it.
Are you betting for or against the viability of your child?
Four, duh.
Good. Keep in mind, like, they might eventually hear this episode.
Oh, okay. You're probably right. Is it like betting on a horse?
Did you just call your future child a horse?
No.
Okay.
Like a little pony. Okay, so also what we're going to have every week is our picks of the week, which is just random baby-related stuff that we happen to like.
So my pick is going to be... So in San Francisco, we've got this food truck kind of meetup thing called Off the Grid. We went to that on Friday, and they had a little onesie, Off the Grid onesie, that said Food Baby on it. And that made me chuckle. So that's my pick of the week.
And I keep joking around that, like, I'm getting a little bit fatter, but you can't really tell. So it really just looks like I have a food baby. Like, I've just eaten a giant Chipotle burrito.
I'd like to eat a giant Chipotle burrito.
That's about the figure I have right now. So my other pick of the week is the book that I had mentioned earlier, Expecting Better by Emily Oster. It's been really good. I've actually been reading it on my Kindle. She is an economist at the University of Chicago, and when she got pregnant, it was very confusing for her to kind of navigate all of the different restrictions of pregnancy. And, you know, her obstetrician would say one thing, and then she would read another thing on, you know, books and blogs and whatever. So as the economist and, like, academic that she is, she decided that she was going to read all of those studies, figure out which ones actually were well done studies, and then make conclusions based off of that and kind of give recommendations so that people can understand, like, what the real risks of doing certain actions are. So that I would highly recommend for anyone who really cares about statistics and
fact-based things rather
fact-based
than
things.
Literal old wives' tales.
So it's been really good so far. I haven't finished reading it, but I'm sure I'm going to cite it a million more times during this podcast. Cool.
Yeah, as soon as you're done with that, I'm going to read it. I get really annoyed by, you know, just hearsay about what you should and shouldn't do.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm going to get into arguments with other parents about what's going to kill our child or turn it into
mush
or whatever else you don't want to happen.
Yes.
So I want facts to back it up, and I'll be all smug about it. That'll be fun. Yeah. Right?
Yep.
Being smug, that's the goal.
Exactly. Isn't it always? Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining us on this very first episode of Don't Screw It Up. And we will have many more episodes for you as the pregnancy progresses. And we're signing off now.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Bye.